Barbara Rainey says that kids can't wait for Christmas to come.
But there's very little, if any, anticipation associated with Easter. And yet the whole Bible is an anticipatory story about Easter.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, February 18th.
I so love the holidays, the holy days that relate to our Christian faith. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to find more meaningful ways to celebrate and observe those special seasons and days. And my friend Barbara Rainey is a kindred spirit when it comes to that. And not only that, she's more creative than I am by far. So she's here with me in the studio this week to talk about the upcoming Lenten season leading up to Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. And Barbara, thank you for the work you've done, some beautiful, creative, interesting resources, meaningful resources for families. And we want to talk some more about that as it relates to the Lenten season. Thank you for joining us again on Revive Our Hearts.
Well, you know, it's such a delight to be here. And thank you for that very nice compliment. I appreciate that.
Well, I love the work you've done. And you're an artist, and a thing you didn't really do a lot when your children were younger, but then your children grew up and you went back to painting. And now you've expanded that in a whole lot of other areas with really terrific resources that you probably wish you'd had when your children were little.
Yes, I really wish I had had these when my kids were younger, because as a mom, I had such a desire to teach my children the truth of the Bible and the truth of who God was. And I wanted more than just David and Goliath storybooks. Not that there's anything wrong, because the David and Goliath story is wonderful. But I just didn't find much that helped me take my children beyond just telling them the stories. I wanted to take them to the Bible. I wanted them to see what the Bible actually said and for them to learn to read it and find answers there. And I didn't really have anything that helped me do that. And so I'm in my empty nest years now. I'm creating resources that do what I wanted to be able to do with my children when I was a mom.
And let me just back up and say that you're the mom of six.
That's
and
right.
19, soon to be 20 grandchildren, mm-hmm. young grandchildren.
Yeah.
So quite a tribe full there. Your family is kind of single-handedly multiplying and replenishing
the
earth.
Yeah, we kind of are,
aren't we? And like any family, there are challenges and, you know, no family has easy sledding. And
no, that's
to
right.
train your children in the ways of God, it takes intentionality. It takes the willingness to persevere when maybe they're at a season of life when they're not so interested in all of this. But I think one of the important things is if you start young with your children in getting them into the ways of God and engaging their hearts when they're curious and their imagination is still fertile, some of these resources you've developed are really great. They're hands-on. They're interactive. We see so many kids growing up today in our Christian homes, our evangelical churches, homeschooled, Christian schools, youth group, and then by the time they're teens or college age or a little older, they're leaving the faith. They're bored. They think the Bible mm-hmm. is boring. What have we done to make them think that this isn't really their life?
Yeah, I think part of the answer, this is my theory, and I suppose there would be those who would disagree with me, but I think part of it is that we have dropped the ball as adults. We've done a really good job when they're little, when they're toddlers, and even through the early elementary years of telling them Bible stories, but we've not done a good job of taking our children to the Bible. We haven't taught them how to read it and how to discover truth in it. We've done a good job, again, of the elementary things, but we haven't done a very good job of teaching them that the Bible is alive and it's full of these wonderful, not just stories, but truths. And so that's why they get bored, because by the time they get to sixth grade, they don't want to hear the David and Goliath story anymore. They don't want to hear about Daniel and the lion's den, and it becomes boring. And what a tragedy that anything in the Bible should become boring to our children. So we need to find new and fresh ways to engage them as they get older. And so part of what I'm trying to do is create resources that elementary and up children can continue to engage in, because I think we've done a pretty good job with the preschool crowd. But I think we've dropped the ball a little bit on the elementary and older kids in helping them engage biblically with the truth of God's word.
And as you're talking, I'm wondering, is part of the problem not that adults are bored with the Bible.
Well, that too.
And maybe not reading it ourselves and engaging in it. And, you know, just Bible reading in general is not at an all-time high with adult Christians. And Bible illiteracy is up, people not knowing the story. And here's the other thing. We haven't learned how to see Jesus in all of Scripture,
and
it's not just a book, it's not just words on a page, it's not just ink on a page. It's pointing us to the living Word who is Christ and who is our life. And if we don't feel this engagement and this excitement and this warmth of heart toward Christ as He appears throughout Scripture, then why should our children not be bored?
Exactly. Well, let me tell you a little secret. One of my goals in creating all of these materials, all of these resources, is to get to the parents. Because I know if moms and dads will buy the resource we're talking about today, the Messiah Mystery, or they'll buy some of the other things that I'm in the process of creating that are pretty much holiday-centric, because that's an easy time. Well, not necessarily easy. That's probably not the best word. Holidays are a natural time to engage with your children. And I'm hoping that as moms and dads buy these things and they engage with their children around the holidays that we all celebrate anyway, year after year after year, that moms and dads are going to learn too. It's not just going to be the kids, but moms and dads are going to go, oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool that that's in the Bible.
In fact, you have a friend who told you that it was quite a learning experience for her to go through this resource, the Messiah Mystery.
Yeah, I do. I had about 30 or 40 families who were my guinea pigs, so to speak, and I asked them if they would be willing to test this resource with their families and then give me feedback, let me know what worked, what didn't work, and all of that. And this one young friend, she's a mom, she's in her late 30s, she has four boys, and she did the Messiah Mystery with her boys through the Lenten season and did one lesson. It's designed with one lesson to be done once a week, so it's very doable.
In the 6 weeks leading up to Easter.
It's very doable. Once a week is all you've got to do. And she wrote me an email a couple of weeks after Easter was over because she was so swamped she didn't get a chance to send it before then. But she wrote me an email and she said, I cannot tell you how much we loved doing the Messiah Mystery. She said, not only did my boys learn a lot, they thought it was fun. They loved looking for the clues with the magnifying glass. They thought the poster and all the little elements that are designed for the kids, they thought all that was really cool. But she said, I was amazed at how much I learned. And this young woman, this mom, grew up in the church. Her father was the pastor. And she went to a Bible college for college. And she wrote to me to tell me that she learned things that she didn't know. Well, of course, that shouldn't surprise me in a way, because none of us knows the Bible so well that we're not going to be surprised to learn new things. But it was a very telling statement from this young woman that even she, as the mom who had all this background, was learning a lot about God and about Jesus that she did not know by going through the Messiah Mystery with her boys. So that's one of my sort of unwritten, in the fine print goals as I create these resources is I want to get to the moms and dads. I want to teach them and encourage them and educate them as they're also teaching their children, because it's both and.
And for those who didn't hear the program yesterday, let me just reset us a little bit. You're maybe wondering why in the middle of February are we talking about Easter and Passion Week? Well, the Lenten series, the 40-day period leading up to Resurrection Sunday, is a great time to prepare our hearts for Passion Week, Holy Week, and Easter. It's a great chance to meditate on Christ, who He is, why He came, how He was promised in the Old Testament, and how He fulfilled those promises as the Messiah, the sent one from God.
Right.
And the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ in the weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Those are the things we want to be focusing on, whether adults or children, families or singles or whatever. And this is a resource that is helpful to fix our hearts on the redemptive story during that Lenten season. Now, that season, it starts at different times, different dates, depending on which year it is. This year, Lent begins on Wednesday, March the 5th. We'll actually be beginning a very special Lenten series here on Revive Our Hearts that day called The Wonder of His Name. We'll talk about the names of Jesus throughout that season leading up to Easter. But we wanted to let our listeners know about this resource that families can use. You can use as a Sunday school class. You can use it with children in your neighborhood. You can use it just if, you know, college roommates living together. This is a great way to get your hearts and heads into God's Word. Yeah. It's designed with children in mind, but certainly not just for children. I'm looking at this and thinking, this is a study I'd love to go through myself. But it's a great resource for your family in particular to celebrate during the Lenten series. One lesson each week for 6 weeks. We'll talk about what some of the pieces are, some of the activities. And so we're airing this conversation a few weeks ahead of time, so you have time to get this resource, The Messiah Mystery, in your hands. And we want to make it available to any of our listeners there's lots of pieces to this. We'll talk about what they are and what they do and what they mean. But this whole set, The Messiah Mystery, it's not just a book. It's a book with several companion resources. Comes as a kit, as a set. We're making it available to any of our listeners this week who send a donation to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts of $20 or more. Whatever God puts on your heart, you say, I want to see this ministry continue in the lives of women around the world. Send a donation of $20 or more. And our way of saying thank you, if you ask for it, is that we'll send you this kit, this set, The Messiah Mystery. But you want to do that this week so you'll have it in your hands. You can get ready. You can plan for the Lenten season to use this with your family. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll let you know how you can call and make that donation or visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. Now, most of the lessons in this Messiah Mystery series actually come from the Old Testament.
That's
and
right.
Remind us why it's so important to start there as we prepare our hearts for the life and times of Jesus, who doesn't actually appear until the New Testament.
Exactly. Well, we wanted to take families on a journey from the very beginning of time up until the birth of Christ and help them see and experience and learn that all of the Old Testament is the story of Jesus. It's all foretelling the coming of Christ. And we tend to think, in our modern world, we tend to think that the Old Testament is irrelevant. We tend to think that it's past tense. It's old because it's called the Old Testament. And we don't see the connection between the old and the new. And the story of Jesus' life is so much more meaningful when we understand it in the context of the Old Testament. And so we begin with the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis and talk about what happened after the fall and how there at that moment, the very beginning of the history of man and woman, God gave the first promise of the coming Redeemer. And then throughout the pages of the Old Testament, there are more and more and more prophecies, more clues, more hints. And we've written this book as if it were a detective sort of series. And
which is kind of how the Old Testament Jews had to see it. They were getting these little clues along the way.
It was a mystery. They didn't know either. They had no idea who the Messiah was going to be. They didn't know when he was going to come. They didn't know what he was going to look like. But God kept giving them little clues, more and more information along the way through the history of time. And so as we approach the season of Lent, it's a wonderful time for families to do something together of meaning to help prepare their hearts for Easter. And what better way to do it than to trace this mystery of who the Messiah would be through the Old Testament so that when we get to Holy Week, we get to the week that celebrates the resurrection, we've got all of this context that leads up to this momentous occasion.
Which is exactly the buildup that God intended in the Old Testament. That's why when Jesus actually was born and then was taken to the temple to be dedicated by his parents, you had Simeon in the temple, you had Anna in the temple, people who had been waiting
for
the redemption
of
Israel, waiting all their lives, and two elderly people who just hoped to live to see the coming. And this is why, as Simeon held that child, and why as Anna saw this baby there in Mary's arms there in the temple, why there was such excitement and such joy and such gratitude that God had fulfilled his promise. And I think we somehow miss
sense of wonder. Yeah.
Of what it means that Jesus has come.
Well, and not just the sense of wonder, but this, we've lost the sense of anticipation.
Yeah.
We have it at Christmas. We have that sense of anticipation because we, many of us, celebrate Advent. And so we have something to mark the weeks leading up to Christmas. And there's all the anticipation that's associated with gifts and all of that. But there's very little, if any, anticipation associated with Easter. And yet the whole Bible is an anticipatory story about Easter. And so during the 6 weeks of Lent, it helps build that anticipation. If you go through this as a family and you talk about the period of waiting and the unknowing and the mystery and how they knew they were waiting for someone, but they didn't know who. And here we get to know who it is. We know the answer to the mystery. We know the answer to the story. But if we'll take those 6 weeks of Lent and go back and pretend that we don't know the answer to the story, and we read the verses and we read the stories of the Passover and the story of building the temple and of Abraham and Isaac, and we go through that as a family, when we get to Easter, we've built up this great sense of anticipation for Holy Week, for Resurrection Sunday. And so, therefore, the celebration of Easter is much more important. It's much more meaningful. It's much more as it should be when we've taken the time to prepare our hearts and to prepare ourselves to celebrate the resurrection.
When we realize that God sent his son to die, mm-hmm. which is what we observe on during Holy Week,
right.
the death of Christ, the trial, the accusation, then the death, the crucifixion of Christ. And for our sins, the scripture tells us he died for mm-hmm. our sins. And then we realize that because he is God, death could not keep him mm-hmm. its victim, its prey. So he was raised from the dead. And that, what a victory. And not only for Christ, but for us.
Exactly.
That we are raised to newness of life. And that means we can have victory over sin and mm-hmm. death mm-hmm. and Satan and hell. And it's not even Easter yet, and I'm really getting excited about this. Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, me too, yeah. And part of the wonder is that all of that, everything that you just said, was prophesied in the Old Testament. And we overlook that too much. But when we know where it is and we know what it says, again, it makes the celebration as it was intended to be, the high point of the year, the high point of the Christian calendar, and the high point of our lives to celebrate the
yes,
resurrection.
Yes. And this resource will actually get you and your family into the Word of God, digging
That's
in,
right.
studying together, looking for these clues, but in a way that is so interesting. It's not dry, it's not dull, it's mm-hmm. not boring. And there are activities, kind of hands-on activities that you've put with these different weeks to tell what supplies are needed. And one of the uh-huh. ones I thought was kind of interesting, and I think a lot of families would enjoy doing, was the week associated with the tabernacle. There were some clues to the coming Messiah embedded in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There were some clues that let us know that a Messiah was coming. And give us a little glimpse into what that week looks like in the Messiah mystery.
Right. And so when you come to that session, it's called the Clues in the House. And the activity, and this is for if you're doing this with your family, with children. Dennis and I did this, just us as adults, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. We didn't do the activities, but if you have kids, this is a really fun activity. And all it involves is getting a piece of chalk and a tape measure, and you go outside on your driveway, weather permitting, of course, or perhaps...
Yeah, if you live up here in Michigan, you're still under snow.
I know. So if you live in Michigan or in the north and you've still got snow on the ground, you do it in your living room. But if you can go outside, get a piece of chalk, and you draw off the dimensions on your driveway of the tabernacle, and it gives the dimensions in the Messiah Mystery Journal book. You draw off those dimensions, then you draw where the Holy of Holies is and where the holy place is, and then you can draw, as you read the lesson, some of the elements that were in the tabernacle. And the instructions are to sit in the Holy of Holies as a family as you do this project together. So again, weather permitting, draw the tabernacle or stake it out in your living room or put a chair at each corner in a room and say, this is how big the tabernacle was. This is how big the Holy of Holies was. Let's sit in this space and do the story on the tabernacle together and talk about all of the symbolism in the tabernacle. It was full of symbols.
All pointing to Christ.
And when we know that richness that was there, and not just richness in wealth, because there was a lot of gold and a lot of really expensive furnishings, but we know the riches of the symbols, it makes knowing Christ a rich experience. And I think that's what we want. It's what we long for. And so it's fun to sit there with your kids in your pretend tabernacle and talk about the lampstand and that's a hint that Jesus is the light of the world, and talk about the bread and why there was bread in the tabernacle. Do you know why there was bread in the tabernacle? The kids don't know why. Let's look in this verse and see what it says. What is that a clue? What does that tell us about Jesus? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And you go through all of those as a family, and it's like eyes are opened, and the wonder begins to grow. And that's what we want. We want to be in wonder. We want to be in awe of what God did, because the complexity and the intricacy of what He designed, not just for the tabernacle, but all throughout the Old Testament, just leaves us speechless at what God did, and that we can participate in this, and that we can know Christ, and that we can know this history of His coming and the prophetic verses about His coming, then leads up to Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday, and it makes our worship and our celebration of the resurrection not just meaningful, but really, truly awe-inspiring. And that's what I think we long for in our hearts, is we want to worship a God who is truly awesome in the real sense of the word, not in the trivial sense of the word. And the more we know about Him and the more we know about the context that He set in place for us to discover, the more we will be worshiping Him the way He needs to be worshiped.
I'll tell you what's awe-inspiring to me as I'm hearing you describe this, and I'm picturing sitting in that drawn version of the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies and being reminded that the Old Testament Jews could never go into that place.
Right.
If they did, they'd die.
That's right.
They couldn't even look in
there.
That's
right.
And why can we go today
exactly
into God's very presence?
Exactly. It's one of my favorite parts.
Because Jesus went to the cross.
That's right.
His body, the temple of His body, was torn and broken. That big curtain separating, mm-hmm. that big thick veil separating the holiest place from the rest of the tabernacle was torn into from top to bottom, the hand of God, so that through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, mm-hmm. we could come boldly into the presence of God.
That's
whereas
right.
those Old Testament Jews had to live in fear and trembling. And, of course, they placed their faith in the Messiah who was yet
to come. Mm-hmm.
But now we look back and we say, thank you, Jesus, mm-hmm. for what you did there at Calvary, there on the cross, all those thousands of years ago, that makes it possible for me to be forgiven of my sin, to come boldly into the presence of God, to His throne of grace. It is amazing
That's right. We could
do that. And the tabernacle was that Old Testament glimpse mm-hmm. that points us to Christ, who was to make it possible for us to go into the presence of God. And I know we have many moms listening, grandmoms, who want for themselves and their teens and their children to have rekindled during this upcoming Lenten series a sense of the wonder, the awe of who Jesus is and why He came. And, you know, I think if we're not intentional about finding this or other kinds of resources that remind us and point us to Christ in this season, what happens is our days are full, our lives are full, our schedules are full, and all of a sudden, oh, it's Good Friday and it's Easter weekend and we're not ready for it, and it's hubbub and it's an extra vacation day and there's travel and it's behind us.
That's right.
We've missed it. And God wanted His people from the Old Testament on to stop, to pause, to ponder, to prepare their hearts, to have symbols that would remind them of who Jesus is and why he came. And Barbara has produced this fabulous resource. It's a set. It's a kit. Tomorrow we'll tell you a little bit more about what's in that. You can go to our website, reviveourhearts.com. You can see a description of it there. And I'm so excited to be able to make this resource available, the Messiah Mystery, to any of our listeners who'd like to have it for yourself, for your family, for a Sunday school class, for a neighborhood kids club you may want to do during the Lenten series, one time a week for 6 weeks leading up to Easter. That Lenten period starts March 5th. That's just a few weeks from now. So we're airing this in time for you to order it. If you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts of $20 or more, we will be glad to send you this entire set. So give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Let us know what gift you'd like to make to Revive Our Hearts, and then ask for the Messiah Mystery Set. We'll get that right out to you. And if you prefer to do it online, visit us there at reviveourhearts.com. And my prayer is that as we seek the Lord with all our hearts over these next weeks, we will find him in a fresh new way. We're going to talk a little bit more about the meaning of Lenten series and of Resurrection Sunday and how we can prepare our hearts for that when we come back tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts once again with Barbara Rainey.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.